It's a trend in our region that we have to talk about. The sexual exploitation of children is a frightening topic, but it's serious and it is happening to children here in our communities. Welcome to Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones, Executive Director of SCAN of Northern Virginia, and my guest today is Jesse Argueta, an officer with the Gaithersburg Police Department. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you, Sonia, for having me.
Across the United States, it's estimated that as many as 300,000 American youth may be at risk of commercial sexual exploitation. How can we protect our children? Today, we'll discuss what parents can do to understand the threat, recognize warning signs of vulnerability, and take action to strengthen our children's ability to protect themselves. So, Jesse, let's start by talking about the term sexual exploitation. What do we mean?
Well, sexploitation is a very broad term. It encompasses not only human trafficking and things like that, but it's any type of sexual abuse on children and youth that involve any type of exchange. It could be money, it could be drugs, it could be food, shelter, it could even be attention. And that's one of the major factors that we're seeing in exploitation. It's just the need for these girls and boys to be validated and to have that attention from whoever is propositioning them in this way.
So I know we see things on the media and we like to think that's not happening in our own backyard, mm-hmm. but is that an issue here in the D.C. metropolitan area?
It is an issue. I cannot say that from the law enforcement perspective that human trafficking is as severe as in like Atlanta or Houston or Las Vegas, but sexploitation as a whole is. And, you know, we find it in youth that have a self-esteem that is just through the floor, and they can get exploited in any way, from pictures to text messages to what we call sexting. Any way that somebody can find some type of self-gratification in youth in this area is happening, and it happens across the board. It's not sexual exploitation is not restricted to a socioeconomic demographic. It could be in the poorest of neighborhoods, and it could be in the most affluent neighborhoods. And that's, you know, unfortunately, that's what we're looking at and dealing with.
You mentioned sexting and texting. So talk a little bit about how technology is contributing to vulnerability.
Well, you know, technology is has been, unfortunately, a major conduit in this type of exploitation that we see. And if we really think about it, you know, what we term sexualization, which is the infringement of sexually charged materials on youth that aren't mature enough to deal with what they're thinking, feeling, and seeing with these messages, and then, you know, communicate that on Facebook, on Twitter, through text messages and, you know, sexting. So sexting is when somebody takes a picture of themselves or and transmits it via some type of electronic device. And, you know, now, unfortunately, it's gotten to the point where parents have to ask themselves, it's not if my child will be exposed to pornography, it's when. And that's a very scary thought. Personally, my daughter's just turned 13. And I think that whole argument of, Daddy, let me have a cell phone, I've kind of won because that I've pretty much, you know, was very stern on that. I personally don't think that a child should need a smartphone. If a phone is required for whatever reason, a basic flip phone, you know, but something that will just minimize their interaction through the internet. I mean, we as police officers respond numerous times to schools for a fight in progress that was a result of a Facebook picture or of a status update, or it's gotten, in my opinion, out of control.
You've talked about a common denominator in youth who are sexually exploited. What is mm-hmm. the common denominator?
The common denominator in all forms of sexual exploitation, and it's not just human trafficking, but it's, like I said, child pornography, child erotica, the sexual molestation of boys and girls, all of that. The common denominator is self-esteem. And sexualization is a proponent to minimize that self-esteem. And the lower the self-esteem, the more vulnerable the kids are. So it's a matter of identifying how to counter that. because it's a major risk factor. And research has shown that all of these girls that are being trafficked or exploited in any way have a self-esteem that is shocking. It's shockingly low.
Which is actually, when you start to think about it, somewhat intuitive that if you have a low self-esteem, you're not going to stand up for yourself and you're not going to exert your right to have boundaries and to protect yourself and to not be used for someone else's sort of gratification and fun.
Exactly. And sexualization, for example, has a major component which is the objectification of the female. So men who sexualize women, and, you know, vice versa. It's not just the men towards women, but it's also women and to men, depending on the demographic and the ages. But what we're seeing now in the research that I have done academically is that I've seen that these girls are so sexualized now that it's not a matter of trying to convince them not to go on the internet because somebody's going to lie to them or trick them to use them for sexual purposes. It's more of they're so sexualized that they're actually going out there for that sexual encounter. You know, it's not a matter of reaching out to them and convincing them, you have to be careful, you can't get on this website, you can't do these chats. We do have to do that, but we also have to realize that the sexualization is so pervasive now that these girls know. They know, and they want those encounters because of the sexualization, because they feel that this is all I've got to offer. So it's gotten to the point where forget about the inward character, the talents, the vision, the dreams that one may have. It's about, well, he doesn't want to be my boyfriend, so I guess I'm just going to go ahead and do what he wants just so I can feel that connection, that love, that affection, that acceptance, that attention.
Seeking off affirmation.
Yeah, and yeah, that validation, that pursuit of validation is out of control also.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, this is Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, along with Jesse Argueta, an officer with the Gaithersburg Police Department. So tell me a little bit about what law enforcement's response is to these type of crimes.
Well, law enforcement, obviously, is picking up the pace. The Department of Justice has implemented a project called Project Safe Childhood. And basically, it's the collaborative efforts of local, state, and federal law enforcement working together to come up with different tactics to combat child sexual exploitation, human trafficking, child pornography alike. And they go out and they have different types of community outreach programs, trainings for other law enforcement at different levels. And there's also what we call the ICAC, which is the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Forces that are throughout the nation. And they do excellent work. They're basically 24/7, they're on the internet looking for these predators, looking for innovative ways to counter this epidemic of child pornography. I'm not one to mention statistics and numbers because these types of crimes, you can't really quantify the incidence rate throughout the nation. So I always, when I do these presentations and do these workshops for parents, I tell them, you know, we can sit here and say, hey, there's a million girls or a million children that are being exploited, but those are the ones we know of, you know, and there's jurisdictional differences. So one jurisdiction can classify one crime as, say, it would be trafficking. Another one won't. But law enforcement is picking up the pace, as I said, and they're coming up with these different strategies to combat, not only going out there and enforcing these laws, but educating parents. The Gaithersburg Police Department in 2010 worked together with the FBI, Maryland State Police, and we did a major operation online that was very successful. We ended up arresting about 12 individuals, and it was a very, very successful operation.
Great. Well, and you spoke about talking to parents. I know you do lots of workshops for parents, and I want to try to provide our listeners this morning some tangible things. What can parents do to try to reduce the likelihood of their children becoming victims?
Well, I think parents need to come to the conclusion, as M. Scott Peck said in his book, The Road Less Traveled, life is difficult, you know, and a lot of us parents try to shield our kids from accepting that truth and reality. Mm. Once the kids know that, hey, life is going to be hard, they've already opened up the window to acknowledging that. And instead of, you know, facing challenges or problems, in other words, they begin to see as challenges and problems as opportunities to grow instead of things and stressors to run away from. I think it's important that in my workshops and trainings, I call the big three, and that is the development and nurturing of self-esteem, which is how a child feels about themselves, self-concept, which is how a child thinks of themselves, and self-efficacy, which is how is the beliefs a child has about him or herself, what they can do. An example is, my daughter tried for a basketball team, and she had never picked up a basketball in her life. And she tried. I said, go ahead. Good luck. And she didn't get picked, and she was crying. She said, Daddy, it was hard. And I said, honey, I'm sorry, but you weren't so good. And she said, oh, Daddy, that's mean of you to say that. I said, well, honey, listen, it's not that you can't do it. It's that you haven't worked to get it done. So she said, okay, take me to Toys R Us and let's get a basketball. So she's up there, bouncing the basketball and things like that. But, we have to make sure that we lead our kids to knowing that obstacles should not be something that we run away from, but just seen as opportunities for growth. And communication, communication is big. Being able to talk about sex is, I can't stress how important that is. And a lot of parents have a problem with that. I was speaking to a parent yesterday, and I told her basically, hey, you're not speaking to your 10-year-old because of, about this topic. You have to make sure that you're not talking to her about this topic because you have a problem with it. So you have to make sure that as parents, we have reached that level of maturity and openness to then speak to our sons and daughters about this topic.
And it's important for us to have those difficult conversations because we can't necessarily trust what someone else is going to say about that subject. So we have to take on those hard topics ourselves as parents. We have just about a minute left. Mm-hmm. Is there a final message you wanted to be sure to leave with our listeners this morning?
The final message would probably encapsulate around, sexual exploitation is something that it's on the rise, but it doesn't mean that it cannot be conquered and overcome. If we work together, if we push for stricter laws, if we advocate policymakers to allow law enforcement to do so much more that they want to do, as a community, as a society, we can win this. And we have to start fighting it at home. So don't expect things to change on the street if you don't want to change things at home. And you have to come to that realization. Our kids are our future. And we have to fight for them now.
Thank you, Jesse, for joining us this morning. The sexual exploitation of children is not always an easy subject to address, whether it's talking about it with children, understanding it as parents, or addressing it as a community. But we can't avoid difficult topics. We have to talk about them. I hope that our listeners this morning have found this discussion to be a wake-up call to a growing issue in our metro area. When we start talking about the problem and solutions, we can do a better job protecting our children and preventing their exploitation. This has been Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, and I want to thank Jesse Argueta for joining me this morning to talk about this very important topic. Remember, every child and family matters. We all play a critical role in our communities, and we can each take action to help families thrive. For more information about the sexual exploitation of children and other parenting challenges, visit the SCAN website at www.scanva.org.